Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet. This is your host for this evening, Marcia McMahon, and it's a beautiful fall day here in central Illinois in Corn and Beanland, and we're just delighted to be on air with this fascinating guest, Erica Stout, who is, we're going to be delving into a reincarnation, evidence of reincarnation, and past lives regression, which I do. I'm a past lives regression hypnotist, and I'm certified with the National Guild. But before we get to all that, I want to also thank Doug and Don Newsom of the BBS Network for their kindness and support to me, and also for the music that James Murray and Robert Murray are providing. The song you listened to was written, the lyrics were written by me through John Lennon, and the show is dedicating to finding inner peace and world peace and love for the planet. And I have a great gratitude in my heart for James and Bob and George Harrison, John Lennon, Michael in the band, and Frank Duvall. And we thank Bob Murray and James of The Stars Still Shine. So you can listen in every other Saturday evening to The Peaceful Planet on Station 1 at 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific. And we are featuring their music from the angelic realms, as well as messages from myself of love and peace from Lady Diana, John L., archangels, and various ascended masters. And so we're really glad that you tuned in this evening to the show, and we've got a fabulous show for you, so do stay tuned. I want to mention a little bit about my work. I channel the Ascended Masters and Archangels, and I also do readings with Archangel Michael for soul purpose readings, and I am featuring an Angel Awakening class coming up this coming week after the elections are held. We'll be able to still our minds a little bit more and hopefully not have to focus on that, and the angels are all around us this evening as we get going on the show as well. I teach angel classes. I teach them online and on ground. So we're holding one class on ground here in central Illinois, and there's another class that I'm teaching, the same class, for those of you that are interested in finding out about who your angel and spirit guides are and learning to use Reiki with angels in your healing practice, or if you're just curious about angels and want to know more about them and the history of the angels. I've got four sections of the class, which I'd like to explain in a little bit more detail. And this is what Archangel Michael said about the class. I and my legions of warrior angels stand by to assist earth angels whenever you are in need. Form communities of light, directing seekers to their own light within. For once the connection is made, no one can sever it. So some people are interested in learning to get in touch with their higher self or their I Am presence, and that is very key to understanding and working with the spiritual realms. And session one is a history of angels and art. Session 2 is beginning to sense angels and spirit guides in your meditation. Session 3 is the hierarchy of angels, soul groups, archangels, and very high-level masters that are guiding this planet, including, of course, beloved Master Saint Germain, who is the seventh Ray Kohan at this point. And then practice with calling in the energetic codes of the angels for healing. And I've worked with angelic Reiki for some 7 years, and I've witnessed miracles myself with Reiki. And our guest also does Reiki, and she's very gifted in bringing in angel messages along with her Reiki, as I am. We've worked together for many, many years, and so I'm very delighted to present Erica Stout. But before we get to that, I would like to read a very important message, and I want to let our listeners as well make call-ins this evening if you'd like a mini reading or you'd like to have a question answered by myself or my guest, Erica, in terms of your soul journey or a possible past life you feel you may have had. And so we're opening our phone lines as well, 888-627-60, I'm looking for the correct number and I'm not seeing it here. You can press 1 on the call-in button if you're listening on your app. And I'm continuing to look for that number. I'll get it for you in a moment. Right now I'm going to move to a very important message that I...
6008.
Thank you. I have trouble reading my own sloppy writing, so forgive me, listeners. Thank you, Doug, for that clue. And I'm going to clarify this very important message before the election, because it's important that we hold peace, love, and light. People are very divided on this election, and of course the election is very, very tight and very close, and we don't endorse a particular candidate on this show. But there is an important message for all of you to contemplate this evening from the Master Saint Germain, who works with the Violet Flame, and he's the seventh ray master teacher or Kohan, holding the light for the New Age or the Age of Aquarius, which we're in fully now. So this is channeled from Saint Germain, and listen with your own discernment. Beloved light workers, this is Saint Germain. We ask all listeners this evening to tune into the vibration of freedom and liberty and free press, for much is at stake in this election. It is our privilege to share our insights, but we never recommend a particular candidate. That being said, there are dark forces afoot in this election that are vying for power, and it has been an extremely unpleasant experience for most people watching the so-called power plays being played out by various entities in your government and from so-called candidates. The founding fathers never intended that the elections would be run by major super PACs or corporate entities backing the super rich, and it appears that that is fast being your United States is fast becoming a plutocracy rather than a democracy. Americans everywhere are still crying out for freedoms to be recognized. And the freedom to vote and the freedom to speak and free press, these are all issues that I tell you are at stake in this very election. For certain candidates might want to take away these privileges as well as parts of the Bill of Rights. And we ask you all listening to call upon Lady Liberty and myself, Saint Germain, and all the Ascended Masters, and to pray in your own way to hold freedom as the guiding principle for this great nation. For I, Saint Germain, was the silent observer at the signing of the Constitution, and we ask that voters use utmost discretion when casting the ballot in selection, for there are certainly more surprises yet to come. And it will be seen in time that the candidate Donald Trump is very much in collusion with Russia, and he's a very dangerous character. If he were to be elected, it might bring the demise of democracy as now we understand it, know it. As well, we feel there are other good issues, so to speak, with the other candidate. While she gives homage to good values and support of the minorities, there are darker forces at work there, too. So we caution you to vote wisely for the candidate you feel the one that represents your version of the democracy. And we say that there will be further revelations with both candidates that will reveal a darker underside. That being said, we hold firm to the principle of truth, unity, and democracy, and we ask all listeners to pray on voting day for peace and harmony in this great nation, the United States. For she is under attack, and there are forces at work that would take down democracy as you know it, and that this will never be allowed, and we in the spiritual hierarchy will not allow it. We bid you all good evening, and we wish you a peaceful transition to the next president and a peaceful election as well. Please remember to pray on the election day and to vote. This is Master Saint Germain of Seventh Ray. So, thank you very much, Saint Germain, for your words of wisdom and setting the tone for the election of peace and harmony and the ruling principle of liberty and freedom and democracy, which cannot be destroyed and will not be destroyed by any of the candidates that are currently running. So we ask for the right outcome and the right revelations and whatever is to happen to unfold in perfect timing. And so that is all I say on the election. Peace be to all listening tonight, whatever your opinions may be. I probably won't comment if you call in with questions on the election. But I will be glad to do some, looking into records and things of that nature. And I'm going to introduce our very special guest, Erica Stout. And Erica is a psychic medium and a healer. She is trained in Reiki, and she's got a series of books out with Star Cross, a story about a woman who had a past life regression and her journey to find her one and only true love. Her first book, Star Cross, will be out by the end of this November on Amazon Kindle. Also, Erica has published a book of her most beloved poems called A Misty Meadow, In a Misty Meadow, already on Amazon Kindle. Erica is a natural healer and a naturally gifted medium. And she does Reiki, as I do, and she works with angels and ascended masters and guides. And I'm very pleased that you could join us this evening, Erica. And I want to mention that she also is a host on her own show, The Social Talk on Blog Talk Radio. So very warm welcome to Erica Stout. How are you this evening, Erica?
Good evening, Marcia. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, dear?
Pretty good.
Great. So this evening, I want to give a little lead-in to stories of reincarnation and past life. And for those of you listeners that are curious about this, Erica and I have both worked in past life regressions with various people that have regressed us, and then I became certified about almost 10 years ago now to do past life regression. And I'd also like to do a little bit of background on the concept of reincarnation before we discuss Erica's various past lives, which were very illustrious and riveting. So please, listeners, do stay tuned, and feel free to call in at 888-627-6008 if you have a comment or question, or you would like a mini reading, or you have a question for me or Erica about past life regression. So a while back, I was watching PBS and the news, and there was a brief documentary on the life of the Dalai Lama. And in Tibet, with the life of the Lamas, they do believe that each Dalai Lama that incarnates is an aspect or soul aspect of the last Dalai Lama. And I was riveted because I saw it not only on YouTube that day, but I also saw it on PBS. And they covered a story of finding the Dalai Lama as a very young boy in Tibet. And the tradition in Tibet is that when a great Lama dies, he makes an agreement with his brethren to reincarnate to help continue the lineage of the monastic Buddhist tradition, or Tibetan Buddhist tradition. And the story was riveting because the situation was such that the Wamas began to receive dreams and impressions, and they're very, very psychically tuned in, and they were praying, and they went out searching because some of the Lamas in the hierarchy there at the monastery felt that he had made it his incarnation. They were getting dreams about a little boy. So they went out into various villages, and they began to bring some of his objects from his previous life to this little boy that was no more than 2 or 3 years old. And suddenly, they discovered a child that appeared to be able to recognize his objects, and they mixed them up with other people's prayer beads and objects and sacred objects, and he identified his prayer beads, and he identified some of his sacred objects from his past life. So they knew at that time that that was, in fact, the current Dalai Lama. So they took him in and under their wings and raised him as a Lama, and his mother, I think he was already orphaned, so it wasn't a problem. His mother and father were not in the picture, and then thus he was raised in the monastery there, and I think all of you are familiar with the fact that Communist China took over Tibet in the 50s and destroyed the monastery and tried to ruin the religion, but fortunately they have relocated to India. So there are very interesting stories of that corroborate reincarnation, and frankly, Tibetan Buddhism accepts it as a fact, and so does the belief system of the Hindu religion, which is the most ancient revered religion in the world. And they believe that souls reincarnate lifetime after lifetime until they reach a state of perfection in which they become an ascended master. And then they don't need to reincarnate anymore. So on that note, I'd like to discuss, you know, some of these unusual things and also talk a little bit about the past life regression. So, Erica, if you wouldn't mind answering some questions, I'm curious, how did you become acquainted with past life regression, and was there a certain spark in memory that caused you to go and have past life regression for the first time?
Well, the strangest thing is I was watching the movie Highlander, and there was a certain scene on there, which was, you know, set in Scotland, and of course you got Connor MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod, and he's in Scotland, and he's immortal, and he happens to find a woman to marry, Heather, and of course they're married many years, but, you know, they can't have children. But what I found most profound was the scene where Connor was at the bedside of his wife, who was aged and dying. And that was a scene that hit me so dramatically that I was sobbing. And, of course, when the movie was over, you know, I just got so into it. I just... you know, pushed aside, and I thought, well, you know, never mind. It's just a movie. So then I'd start having dreams, and it started bothering me a little bit, and then I started looking into past life. And then I met up with a guy who was actually Tommy Andrews, for the, you know, the Titanic, the maker of the Titanic, who has books out. Actually, his regressionist has books out about his journey during his regressions.
You're talking about the guy that remembers being the builder of the Titanic, and what was his name?
I forget his name, but Tommy Andrews just sticks through my head. But there's always a connection.
Okay, so that's the guy that claims that he remembers that he was the builder of the Titanic, correct?
Right, ever since he was a child in Michigan, I remember that. And so there was a link where I can get a hold of him, and I emailed him, and he emailed me back, and he thought there might be a possibility of a connection. So he forwarded the information to me, to Merlin, who is the professional regressionist here in Central Illinois in Bloomington. And
yeah, Merlin. So, I used to regress with Merlin too. What a perfect name for regressionist, right? You know, like Merlin
I thought, oh man, this is wild.
We're talking about multiple lifetimes here.
I was like, what's next? Am I going to meet King Arthur in Guinevere? And
yeah.
And I really was a spin. But anyway, I just went with it. So I thought, okay.
So you signed up for a past life regression with Merlin at first?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I did.
And so did your intuition prove true, your consideration of being on the Titanic? Did you touch upon that lifetime?
Yes, I did. And I was actually remembering a time where I was his sister, and there were some certain personal things that, you know, I wouldn't know, wouldn't be in books or anything, and it was Merlin would relay it to the gentleman mm-hmm. through email, and I didn't hear anything back whether, if we were actually connected in that past life or not. I just have a feeling maybe they had a miscommunication of some type. I don't know. But there were other things that Merlin and I went into, and in that fact, it goes back to what happened. Why did I sob so much in that little scene in Highlander?
Do feel you have a past life connection to Scotland as well?
Very much.
You do feel that you were in that role or you were in that lifetime? I wasn't familiar with this lifetime. I thought we were going to talk about other lifetimes that you were in, but tell us more, please.
With that lifetime, it was a switched position. In that lifetime, my husband was sick, and I was at his bedside, and he was dying. And when he died, long story short, I mean, we had a farm, but when he died, that was my only heart. That was my only love. And I died soon after because of I missed him so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that sparked, that just shook me. It woke me. It sparked a memory. So to answer your first question, that's what did it. And the past life that was connected to it, and that's how it starts. It's always a trigger. And it could be deja vu, you know, where you think you're with, you're somewhere. And,
you were remembering some place where you stood before. I've stood in places like in Rome, in the Forum of Rome, and remembered a past life in Rome. And I haven't even been regressed to that past life. But I have remembered a lot of details and that I knew Caesar in that lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that when you travel around the globe, which I've done a lot of world travel, my feeling and philosophy is that you always set foot in a place that you've been before for a purpose of remembering what that lifetime was all about. And I've visited other places like Tower Hill in England mm-hmm. and got an awfully creepy feeling when I was at the executioner site. And at that time, I hadn't gone through past life regression, you know. I started my past life regression with your recommendation that I visit Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did visit Tower Hill first, and I was over there visiting England and visiting the Diana shrines and sites, and I had my book with me, but the primary reason was just to see England.
Mm-hmm.
But when I stood at the executioner stone where people were often executed, I said to my brothers who took me on the trip, I said, oh, my God, my neck hurts, something awful. And that was a past life memory, and I know it now. But at that time, that was such a traumatic lifetime that I wasn't even allowed to know anything about that. But I discovered my past lives by teaching art history. And I used to focus on certain characters in art history, and King Henry was one of them. And then I came to find out I was hired at an elementary and high school named Tower Hill. And that was the name of the place where we had visited in England, by the way. And I had taught there quite a few years at Tower Hill, and the kids always told me that it was a creepy place in London that had been a prison. And then when I visited there, the place was just filled with creepy vibes, and there was a chapel dedicated to all the people that were executed by King Henry and such. So I definitely go back to that lifetime, and I definitely found out later that I was a Queen of England, and I was executed by Henry. So it was very, very traumatic, but I wasn't really allowed to know about that when I first started my journey,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes the trauma is too great for the soul to understand. So usually when I regress people, I take them very gently into a pleasant lifetime. And I think some of your lifetimes were quite pleasant as well. And then you've had some other very powerful lifetimes that we've both shared. So mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could possibly jump into another one, like, say, Egypt, which I know we shared a dynasty in Egypt together.
Yeah, that lifetime was quite interesting. And especially when you're going under a regression, you don't realize that you're speaking another language. And
now, I do remember when I regressed you, you were speaking in full Egyptian.
Because when you're under, it kind of feels like you're watching a movie, and sometimes you're just watching the show, like you're actually there, and you're watching this dream unfold in front of you. And then you notice, wait a minute, like when there's a playback after regression, you're speaking a different language. Or what the heck am I saying? Oh, my God. What is that all about?
I do remember that when I regressed you into the Egyptian lifetime, there was some terror because we were involved in the mm-hmm. the Akhenaten reign, which was the one god concept. And I was a daughter of Akhenaten, Queen Nefertiti, and you were also. And then there was something traumatic that had happened, and you screamed bloody murder, and I had to wake you up out of the regression and let you finish it from the soul perspective, because there can be very extreme, people aren't always kind and gentle to one another. There's a lot of, you know, especially in royal families and things, there's a lot mm-hmm. of murder and intrigue. Even mm-hmm. unto today, there seems to be this pattern. So there's jealousy and vying for the throne and everything, and I think that happened in that lifetime. And you know, but Egypt in general was very interesting. So what do you remember about that lifetime that stuck out besides the trauma? What was, outstanding features of being in that lifetime of Akhenaten, the great, great monotheist, as he's known?
Akhenaten was my half-brother in that lifetime, and I was Akhenaten. And we were, inseparable. I just would have dreams sometimes of me and this Egyptian guy walking on the, next to the river, holding hands, talking, and the feeling.
Now, wait a
of,
minute. Akhenaten was the. Are you sure you're not thinking of Tutankhamun?
Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun.
Yeah.
Yes. Tutankhamun was your soul, twin soul flame mate
right.
in that
right.
lifetime. Because I was talking about Akhenaten, who was my father. And
oh,
I have an interesting
see.
Story to share, too, about that. That soul journey with me, because I was married to Tan, but go ahead with your soul journey and
Tutankhamun.
And he would have been called, it's called King Tut for short. He's got the most glorious burial chamber in the whole entire world. It's a solid gold coffin, and it's world renowned. It's in the Egyptian Museum in Cairo there. And I mm-hmm. taught it many times in art history, and I was so connected with that dynasty. And I felt that my mother was somehow one of the queens in that dynasty, too, and I still feel that today. And so very often we find that we end up with the same families, whether we're royal or not, We, you know, sometimes our lifetimes are very common, sometimes they're royal. But in those days, it was very special to be engaged in that particular dynasty. It was very important because it first brought the light of monotheism to the world. And I always revered Akhenaten, and even as I talk about him, I get chills all over because he was such a powerful, powerful reformer. And you know what he did. He got rid of all the demon worship in Egypt, and he got rid of all of the black magic that was practiced, and the fee-for-service spells that they would put on other people, and the Amun priests were so corrupt. And I kind of feel that those Amun priests came over and reincarnated from Atlantis, and they were some of the darker priests that were involved in Atlantis. Mm-hmm. But go ahead with your spiritual journey and your twin flame there and what you remember and what was important and significant.
Well, in the Egyptian lifetime, I wasn't too sure if Tutankhamun was a twin flame. I believe he was a mate. He could be a twin flame, but, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, trying to sort through these regressions that I've had throughout my life and my journey. But the feeling of with him was more of I felt love, and I felt a lot of respect, and I felt this is my duty. But at the same time, the death situation and finding him with his head bashed in, laying on his, bed. It looks like they have some sort of a, if I remember right, through the regression, some sort of a lift in their on their head. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was solid stone. Usually they didn't use a pillow. They slept
right.
on a
but
stone
he
prop.
Was, his head was bashed in because, you know, usually the wife is called into the chamber, but I hadn't heard him. And usually he would call me into the chamber. And when I went to see what was going on, that's how I found him. And that's when my sister came. And that's when I woke up. I was screaming hysterically.
Well, I remember that regression, and I woke you up. So
yeah,
you know, there are areas that touch into trauma, and the reason that regression is important in this new age of light is that because we're all on a soul journey, and that journey is toward mastery, and so. If there's some kind of trauma that's being held in another lifetime, or the soul is still lost, or there's a soul aspect of yourself that's lost in time mm-hmm. due to trauma, then that trauma needs to be resolved in the current lifetime so it doesn't interfere with your current lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And very often I found, you know, as you're talking about this, it makes me reflect on partners that I've had, you know, marriage partners and friendships and things of that nature that have repeated and repeated and repeated. And when I went into my past lives with Merlin, I was able to see that I had past life with my current husband in England, and that we were estate owners, and I was, unfortunately, I lost my little girl, and she was only 3 due to a fever. So after that happened, I held seances at the house, and he did not approve, but he worked for the king, and he drove in for a week at a time and left the home in the farmstead and went in to work in London, and then he would come back out. So I saw him in the previous lifetime, and he had all the similar characteristics that he has personality-wise today. And then in this very current lifetime, we were always into reenacting history and doing costume balls that were reenactment of the American, you know, era of the 1850s with Lincoln. But we were dressed in period costume from that time that we were there in another lifetime in England. He doesn't remember his past lives at all, by the way. And some people just are not the slightest bit interested in the past life. But I think once you get a regression – you want more, don't you? Don't you think it's an enriching process?
I think it's a, more of a journey. And, you know, at first I was really, you know, interested in this because I thought, well, did I really have these interesting lives? Are they real, or is there aspects of myself that perhaps I have memories of other lifetimes from other people? I mean, it just didn't make sense. It was really confusing. But as I learned a little bit more about each lifetime that I had, I could understand in my own lifetime why I went through that journey and how it applies to my life now. For instance, England, a very important part of my journey, mm-hmm. and which I home on to that strength of that lifetime, which Marcia and you and I have actually homed on.
And yes, we were mother and daughter in that lifetime with King
yes.
Henry. And then you became Elizabeth the First, and it's like mind-boggling to think that
yeah.
I know a soul aspect.
I remember waking up from that thinking, you got to be kidding me.
It's,
no, really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought that too, but, you know, Erica, Elizabeth, sometimes the name. My middle name is Anne, and I feel that I was Anne Boleyn, and I've been regressed to that lifetime more than once now. And so that was a very traumatic lifetime because we were separated by death.
But I've also learned about many aspects of many of many famous people. And I want to note that you have to discern, but it is a journey. And even though if it's not true or is true, I don't know, you know, all we can do when we regress is that it's documented in one shape or form, like Marcia and Merlin would do, was record the sessions.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
what
look
I do
at
too.
History
yeah.
and see if it corresponds with what the regression is saying or what you're saying in your regression.
Precisely, and that's what I do too. I look at the history because I was an art historian. So I was looking at my past lives as I was teaching art history. But if I can interject something here,
sure.
When I was regressed with Merlin the first
mm-hmm.
time, and I went to the Egyptian lifetime with Akhenaten, and I was Meretitan, and I was the oldest daughter, and I ran away with a very handsome general that was blue-eyed, and I escaped the court because I was bored to death with the court, and I didn't want any part of this intermarriage within the royal family. I didn't think it was right. So then we drowned in the Nile River, and the king sent his horses, and we eventually drowned. But the weird thing is that I had been teaching art history. I was an art history professor, and that day I got about 20 PowerPoints, and they were all on Meretitan, Akhenaten, and Nefertiti.
Mm-hmm.
By coincidence? I think not. So I looked into the history, and there were different versions of Meretitan. Some say that Meretitan lived a longer life, and there's no mention of any drowning anywhere in the record.
Mm-hmm.
And that she had another consort, Semenen Kure, and that consort became her husband, and so on and so on. So the Egyptians were great for, you know, etching out and getting rid. They would chop literally the heads of the statues off of the old pharaoh so that they would be the ruling pharaoh,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you really, you know, you always get a clue from your outer world when something rings true. So why did I get all these extra PowerPoints on Meretitan and Nefertiti and Akhenaten? Of course, I had been teaching it, but I don't think it was auto-suggestion. I think this whole thing is quite real. And there have been more, you know, looks that I've done into that past life and found out that, in fact, that there were other details that, you know, the archaeologists are finding out that corroborate what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't get necessarily 100%, but if
right.
you can corroborate it with historical facts, then you've really got a true past lifetime, and you're not going to be able to be contradicted in those memories, you know. But You know, I don't know how you experience past life, but it's like entering a dreamlike state for me.
Yes.
Where you're seeing people talking and you understand what they're saying, but you don't really hear anything. It's like going into a movie, like mm-hmm. they used to make the movies and there were silent films. Isn't it like kind of like that for you?
At first it was when Merlin would put me under, because it was my first time, he thought it would be wise to be disassociated with the time. In other words, that I didn't actually live it, walk it, see it, that I was just like pretending there was a screen, and I was watching these scenes in a past life, you know, so I wouldn't be so attached to it. And then later I became more attached because it was like, well, if I'm to experience this, I better experience it so I can learn from it. And then in later regressions, that's what I did. I actually lived it. Now, mm-hmm. if it was too dramatic or too traumatic, that is, like the lifetime with the Tsar, with Russia during the time in the...
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. That I'm fixated on that. That's a fascinating life story.
That was
story.
With Merlin.
So you were regressed to a lifetime when you were part of the Russian royal family, the last remaining
yes.
Romanov dynasty, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't
correct?
Know. Yeah, I that was something I didn't
but
even
your
think
name
about
in
him.
That lifetime.
It was weird.
Your
yes.
name? Your name was Maria, correct? You were Princess Maria?
The Grand Duchess Maria, yes. And
Grand Duchess
I had no
Maria.
Idea.
Okay.
I had no idea. I didn't even think about him. Wasn't even part of my life. And it just came out in regression.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm laughing because I completely get it. You
yeah.
enter these things and it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
you're looking around and you're going, this looks
what?
Really fancy. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. And after aggression, you're like, why? What's the purpose in this? You know, but anyway, during the regression, I explained things that probably not a lot of people would know. And it was mostly a young childhood I remembered. And I remember Tatiana and Olga. And I remember being a little sister and playing in what they call it's a room where the royal crowns were. And
wow.
I described the room, I described the crowns, I described the palace where I was at, and I described my dad, who was the Tsar in that regression, how cross he was. Because we were doing something and going in somewhere we weren't supposed to. But otherwise, the rest of regression was more, Merlin was asking me what did it look like, what did I see, what did the crown jewels look like, and the crowns. And I described them, and he looked them up, and he said, oh, my God. Exactly.
There's
right. And he said, you got to look at
point.
This. I
there's
wasn't allowed to.
Point right there.
Right. And I wasn't allowed to, after the aggression, Merlin said, no, I don't want you to look at anything until I tell you you can do it. And then when I was allowed, my heart just stopped. I'm like, this cannot be. Oh, my God. What? So, you know, I'm thinking, okay. Evidently, I must have lived that life. I'm taking it as truth. There is a journey, and so that's the main thing you have to think about. It's not think of the negative when you're going through these regressions. It says, I'm not this person. I could not be. There's no way. I'm dreaming this whole thing up because these are the thoughts I thought. And it took a long time to say, well, and to accept, well, you know, it could be. Let's just take it and move along with it and flow with it and see what happens. And maybe
so
there's
I want
a lesson.
To touch on a theme here, Erica,
mm-hmm.
that I'm seeing in your past lives, that I've seen in my past lives as well.
Mm-hmm.
In previous centuries, we were both part of royal families quite a bit. And in one lifetime, we actually remember walking with Jesus as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to touch into that, but before I do, I feel that there was a prevailing theme in my earlier lifetimes relating to royalty that had nothing whatsoever really to do with royalty, but it had another kind of theme, which I was always involved in founding some new spiritual understanding. So I was given these positions in these royal households because Anne and Henry founded the Protestant Revolution and Akhenaten founded the new religion of monotheism. And then when I walked with Jesus, as you walked with me in that lifetime, and I do remember your being there, it seems like that was another religious reform, that another addition to the enlightenment of the species, so to speak. So I don't know if you can speak to this or not, but that's a theme that I've seen in my lifetimes, and I wondered if you had contemplated that. What was the purpose of your being royal in those lifetimes, and what was it showing you about your soul themes and your soul groups, if I may say that, too?
I believe the theme is more of a divine connection, and it's also experiencing that type of life where you have servants, where you also have your leader. So it's a different ballgame than what the life I'm leading now, but there is a reason why I am leading the life I am now. And what I think our theme is, I think it's for us to for souls to learn. And you know, I'm calling you from your past life, because I'm resonating.
You're calling
with
me
that.
Martha.
I about called you Martha. That's right.
Thank you. Thank you, dear.
And when you were talking,
a lot of people accidentally call me Martha.
All
a lot
could
of
hear
the people
was Martha,
that I worked
Martha,
with, actually.
Martha, like Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. So,
correct.
And
well,
quite,
you know,
interesting,
I still
though.
Have the same personality traits that I had way back when, too.
Yes.
Worry
very much.
And fussing over feeding people. I've got a lot of the same themes, you know. So
yes.
Now go ahead with what you were saying. So you're learning something different this lifetime because you don't have servants and you're not a royal person. And you've had some other lifetimes that were far less than royal. I remember you regressed with me once into a lifetime of
William and
the
Rachel.
Frontier.
Yeah, there's one lifetime, William and Rachel, which was something I did with Merlin, was one of my first regressions. And that I'll never forget because it stuck with me for the longest time, and it still does. And it has taught me that love never dies, that even though the body dies, you know, someone in that lifetime, which at that time was my husband, that died, you know, I thought, my life is over. It's done. He's not here. My heart, my soul, who I am, a part of me is gone. And I'm lost without him. Now what am I going to do? How am I going to live? You know, I have at that last time, I had a farm. We had a son. And I would go through these bouts of so profound, deep depression because I missed my husband so much and we were so close, very connected and very close, that it killed me. Ultimately, it killed me.
Mm-hmm. And it very well can. So not every lifetime is extraordinary, but you have had the world's most extraordinary lifetimes, and I've had some really extraordinary ones, too, that would shed light on various historical facts as well. Once I did a lifetime in ancient Greece where I remembered that we had been invaded by some armies, and I was serving as one of the high priestesses at the Temple of Delphi, where they did readings, and they worshipped the goddess Athena. And I remember that we were invaded, and we took shelter, and we were down in this cave, and Merlin was with me in this regression, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I remembered that there was some kind of earthquake, and the ground was shaking. And then all of a sudden, the invasion stopped, and we came out of the cave, and we were safe. We called on Athena, and I remember calling on Athena all the time. And I, of course, taught the Temple of Delphi many times in art history, so I had that connection right there, mm-hmm. for sure. And I remember another friend, Michaeline, who was with me in that lifetime, serving as a priestess at the temple there. And we did readings for people. That's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the oracle at Delphi, the famous oracle who predicted the coming of Jesus and everything. So it was well-respected in the ancient world. But the interesting thing is that when I got back home that day, I looked it up, and I looked up the time period of the armies of Darius, and they had invaded, and they had invaded Greece, and they didn't get very far because there was a minor earthquake that shook them so severely that they retreated. So I found physical evidence right after the regression for what I experienced in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's profound when you recall these kinds of facts and experiences that really did happen. And although I did teach art history, I wasn't into the world history so much, so this wasn't something that I had ever taught in my classes. And you could easily assume that I was just reliving what I was fantasizing about, but mm-hmm. I don't think you get those kind of corroborations by accident at all, do
no.
you?
No.
No.
It's,
and so yeah. Can you describe, going back to the life of Elizabeth, and this is very fascinating. Elizabeth I is one of the most revered figures in history. And, mm-hmm. of course, Mary Magdalene always talks about the winners are the ones that write history, and the losers never get a chance to tell their share of the story. So, for instance, Mary Magdalene's gospel has been completely repressed and was taken out of the canon in the early church. And there's a distorted version of Christianity all over the world today, but we don't really know all the truth of Christianity either. But part of my mission is to uncover the truth. So I have this theme of the Jesus mysteries. But going back to you, mm-hmm. Let's discuss either Elizabeth or go back even further into the early history of the church and Jesus and what you can remember about the Master.
Well, the first regression I had with Merlin was actually being a sister of Jesus, and I was speaking Hebrew. It was just more of a regression of reliving, or I say regressing, that lifetime when I was a sister of Jesus, but, you know, at the beginning of the regression, I didn't know. I just knew I was with this person, this male figure with me, an oxen behind me, and we were walking toward an edge, and you could see a valley below, and it was a dirt road, and I just remember going to see the teacher teach, because Merlin asked, well, who are you going to see? I said, we're going to see the teacher teach, and he asked who was with me, and I said, my brother, and so we were walking, and I looked, and I'm thinking, is that Jesus? And after we listened for a little bit, I was crying, and I went straight to Jesus, and I cried, and I said, is it true that you're going, you know, in Hebrew, are you going to die? And he just smiled and held my face and said, yes, and everything is going to be okay. And
yeah.
As in that regression, I kind of figured out some things in my life that I've had, my parents would talk about seeing this figure by my crib when I was a baby, and it was Jesus. My mother would say, it's Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. I don't know why Jesus is here, you know, and collaborating
Beautiful.
With my father and the same thing. So I've had this pattern or this theme, as you were talking about with these regressions, about Jesus. And in dreams I've had him, and visions, and like I said, even as a child, as a baby, not knowing, but my parents, who both told me, yes, you had Jesus over your crib, cooing with you, acting like he really, well, you were really enjoying it, and you were laughing. I'm like, really? Were you guys on drugs or something? But, you know,
Okay.
That was...
So anyway, Erica, this is very touching, and I'd like to continue for another hour, but our show time is just about up. So I thank you for sharing your memories of Jesus, and I remember him, and I want to say that that day was probably the Sermon on the Mount, and I remember being there and having a very similar conversation with Jesus. So that is a priceless memory, and I am working on a book documenting various people that I've regressed with Jesus, and if you're interested in past life reading, you can reach me at Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A-D-I, at newwavecom.net, or Marcia Di at MarciaDi2002 at yahoo.com. And also to please check out all of the things on Diana Speaks to the World and her messages. And thank you very much, Erica, for your sharing of the precious moments with Jesus and so many other precious moments that we've lived together. We're kind of soul sisters, and we're going to close out with the song Appreciated Angels. And thank you so much, Erica. It was an honor to have you on the program, and it was an honor to actually have you share some of your past lives, which we could really make into a book, couldn't we, though?
Yes, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, yes, it was wonderful, and we could go on for hours, but we're out of time already. An hour went by, so... We hope you'll tune in 2 weeks, because we're having a wonderful person, Dorothy Mercer, on air. And everyone have a blessed month of November, and remember the angel classes and the angel readings. We're closing out with Appreciated Angels, as channeled in by the late Robert Murray at The Stars Still Shine. And we thank Doug and Don Newsom for hosting this program with us this evening.